Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you made it. Made it through that blizzard. No, we know it's coming. We know it's coming. The weathermen, you know, they're not always wrong. It's on its way. But I'm glad we're all here, safe and sound right now. And I want to read Psalm 92, verse 2 to you. It's from the New Living Translation. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. The first place that my brain goes to is, what is it good for? War, right? No. What is it good for? I mean, is it good for the economy? Is it good for the world's climate? Is it good for God? Does he get warm fuzzies when we proclaim his faithfulness and goodness? What is it good for to proclaim his unfailing love in the morning and his faithfulness in the evening? I think what he's saying is it's good for me, it's good for you, it's good for us, isn't it? It's good for our lives. Every aspect of your life, for your health, your well-being, your relationships, your faith, your mind, your soul, your body, your spirit, it's good for us to proclaim that our God is faithful. And then the second place was, is it okay then to proclaim his faithfulness in the morning rather than just the evening? I think it is. So can we do that, Rick? Let's do that.
Changes not thy compassion. sing your praise again. Oh, let your heart sing your praise with us. The promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never fail.
Sing. And then I began to think about, as humans, why are we so intent on complicating things? I mean, when God says, believe in me and you will be saved, what he really means is that we have to prove, strive, contrive, convince, grovel, sacrifice, behave, and acquire perfect theology in order for that to really be true, right? Einstein said, a darn fool can make something complex. It takes a genius to make something simple. Or God. When God says he loves us just the way we are, why do we keep striving? Why do we question it? Why do we feel better about God's love for us when we're doing good works? Or when we're productive? Or when we're helping? When we're doing. Why do we feel unsure about God's love for us when we're unproductive, when we're doubting, or when we're questioning, or when we're hurting, or when we failed, or when life is hard? I guess it's human nature. You're not alone, I'm not alone in that. But let me ask you a question. Can you say this sincerely to God right now? God, I love you. If you can't, you may have doubt in your heart that you are loved by God. You may feel that you don't measure up, that he's disappointed and angry with you, or that you are undeserving somehow. So it is my prayer this morning that as we sing this next song, I'm going to pray for a miracle, that we would be able to say, God, I love you, if you aren't able to say that this morning, or at least move to a place closer to that ability inside yourself to be able to say, God, I love you, because he's saying that to you right now. So let's say that back to him if you're able to, and I pray that you are, that you would see that you are deserving of it, that when he says, I love you just the way you are, it is simply true, and it is that uncomplicated. It really is. God makes things simple for us because he knows us. He knows what our tendency. So let's just receive that simple truth this morning as we sing this.
Surrender with open hands and open.
are truly humbled when I think about your love for me, your love for us, your love for the world. How patient and kind, merciful, never ending. It is a well, truly a well that does not run dry. There is no shame in this place today. There is no shame in your presence. There is no fear in love. And so we enter into your courts with thanksgiving, with a confidence, with a boldness of knowing that we come and your arms are open. Your mercy and your grace is abundant and it never grows old. Thank you for inviting us into your house. Thank you for preparing a table for us. Thank you for the joy, the celebration, and the party that's happening in your presence, even now as we speak. We celebrate that. Thank you. you stand up with me, if you can, if you're able? Refreshing, isn't it? His holy water. It quenches. Amen. Have a seat.
Man, I wanted to hear the band jam some more there. That was awesome. Thank you. In a minute, Rick's going to come and give you the real announcements. But the announcements that he's going to give, like we do every week, are for all of us. And that includes those of us who are here in the building and those who are online. And today that proportion is a little bit different because of the weather. Thanks for all of you who are here, but we're probably more of you that we're looking at that way. Those announcements are for all of us, whether we've been here since the Truman administration. There was no church here in the Truman administration, but for a long, long time, or whether we're just fairly recently new to this community. And those announcements are for everyone, whether you're local to Lititz, or whether you live hundreds of miles away in another state, or maybe even another country, because we have people joining us from all those other places. So if you live stream, I want to talk specifically to you here a little bit. We want you to know that we consider you part of this community, part of the family, even if we've never met you in the flesh, or it's been a couple of years since we have, okay? So look, these folks are applauding that and clapping that for you. And this really matters because we want to make sure that we care for you like we do for anybody else who's part of the family. That we're looking after your kids, or that we or other family members. That we hear from you. That we celebrate your birthday. We put a birthday list up here every Sunday. We do all the other things that family members do, to the extent that you would want any of that. And if you don't, that's cool. We're just going to love you anyway. But you know, we don't force ourselves on anybody here. So we've created a little connection card. It's easy to fill out and send to us so that we know that you're out there and we can maybe know a little bit about you depending on what you want to tell and maybe be able to stay in closer touch. So you can find that. Where can you find that, Jeff?
On the website.
On the website. We've actually got on the website a new hub here, the first button at the top of the menu, Worship Online. And if you click on Worship Online, there's a page that will have all the information that you need for worshiping online, including number one, connection card. It says, please let us know that you visited us. And if you happen to get to our service by skipping the website and you go directly to YouTube, guess what? We got you covered there too. So if you go onto YouTube down below, the video, we've added some links, some hyperlinks there so that you can connect to the website or you can connect to this connection card. We made it easy, if you're online and you're on YouTube, made it easier for you to give. We're just trying to make things, we've been in this for quite a while now, we're learning new things as we go along. 10 months of doing stuff online and we're figuring some stuff out, but the main thing is relationship, isn't it? And the technology just gives us an opportunity to be in relationship with one another, and it really matters. So we're working hard at it for you guys, and for all of you that are a little bit of both. Okay, God bless you. Rick, give us the real announcements. Where are you?
Thank you, Tony. And let's connect. It's good to be here. And what I want, those of you who are here, I want you to stand up and wave at each other. And if you're at home, you can wave at yourself. Or you can wave at whoever's there with you, and I am going to wave at you. And the last time I did this, somebody sent me a text. His name, Chris, will remain anonymous, but he said that he waved back at me. So thank you, Chris. If you're still there, wave back at me. That's wonderful. Absolutely great. One of these days, we'll be able to do more than wave at each other. We'll be able to hug each other. We'll be able to... I miss that. I'm going to start crying here. I miss being able to hug you. Yes, I do. And give you your smiley face, too, you know, on your hand. All that good stuff. Well, with all that said, weather permitting, the adult class, the gift of being yourself will continue today. It's not snowing yet. And
maybe not. There'll be an announcement at the end of the service.
Absolutely, yep. So it's going to continue. The class does meet online via Zoom, for those of you who are interested. If you can't join us in person, you can subscribe to the class by going to the link at Hosanna's website or contacting Tony at Tony at HosannaLititz.org. Next Sunday, those of you who have children and want to come, Kid Venture will meet here in person in the Godly Playroom for children aged kindergarten through K-6. They will also meet on Zoom at 11:30. So if you're interested in that, you can contact Kelly at Kelly at HosannaLititz.org as well. So let me ask you this question. Have you missed seeing the faces of your Hosanna family and friends? And those of you you see here, you don't see their faces, you see their eyes and maybe the top of their nose. You know, that's what it is. Well, we can connect with each other by joining our virtual foyer Zoom meeting on the second Wednesday of each month from 6:30 to 7:30. This will be a time to reconnect, care for each other. Our first gathering will be Wednesday, February the 10th, so that's a week from this Wednesday at 6:30. See the online bulletin for the link, or if you have any questions, you can contact Deb at hosannalititz.org.
Hey, Rick, is that 6:30 a.m. or 6:30 p.m.?
If you're there at 6:30 a.m., nobody will be there. So let's go for p.m. Thank you very much, Jeff. Mm-hmm. And Kid Venture, one more thing. I will be having a dinner theater for all children at Hosanna on Saturday, February the 20th, from 5 to 7:30 p.m. In case you wanted to know, Jeff.
Thank you.
All children are welcome to join us for another socially distanced kid adventure movie night and pizza in the fellowship hall. We have fun watching the movie and eating pizza and ice cream. It's a great way for the kids to fellowship with one another, so please let Kelly know if you're interested. And again, that's Kelly at hosannalititz.org by Wednesday, February the 17th, if your kiddos will be joining us, and look forward to another time of fun. So today we'll continue on with our messages about living resurrection. I love it. And I love the banner up there. And again, we just want to thank Amy for putting all that together, because that's really, really looks cool. Come on up, Tony and Joanna.
I guess Rick didn't get the memo
no.
that we're postponing the message from today till next week because we didn't know what was happening with weather.
I didn't get the memo.
Right. No. But it's all good. We'll get there.
Yeah. Thank you, Ricardo. I was going to say, hey, if I could be Tony the Tiger. And notice, by the way, where I come from, that's pronounced tiger. People make fun of me for that,
mean?
And nobody's.
Say it again.
Tiger.
Tiger.
Not tiger. Tiger.
I don't hear a difference.
It's kind of like T A G G E R. It's like ticker with an A. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Fire.
But say fire.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. Anyway.
We talk funny where I come from. Anyway, yeah, it is good to be here, and we are going to talk about resurrection today, but not the message that we had originally planned. It's really fun that Sean and the worship team led us in this song called Uncomplicated today.
Right.
Given a conversation that Joanne and I were having yesterday, we're looking at the weather report for today. And it was terribly complicated. It was vague. Different places were giving us contrary things, and we're trying to figure out what to do with both the service and the class afterwards. And the fact that we only have one service makes it easier, but the fact that we are here and here makes it even more complicated,
right.
The technology.
And also, if it was going to start snowing earlier, we have people who come from a distance, like some of the folks on the worship team. Do we want to run everybody in from Hummelstown and everywhere else to be here? And if it's snowing, and then is it safe for them to go home? It's all of that. It got very complicated.
Yeah, and the technology seems to make things easier, but it makes things more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Live streaming feels probably to most of us like, hey, we stick a camera up in the room and turn it on, and everybody's okay. Well, Jeff and I had two conversations yesterday by phone,
yeah.
In which he assured me it's a little more complicated than that, which I already know. So at one point we're having this, why does it have to be so complicated? And we realize, no, it doesn't have to be. We are,
yes,
we are community.
Yes.
We're a relationship. We're not putting on a show. We don't have a program.
Right.
We're God's people getting together.
Right.
And the cool
Yay.
Thing is we can get together even across the miles, which we couldn't have done before, which is just beautiful. So we decided to do something a little different this morning, assuming that there'd be smaller group here, just to keep it a little bit more informal. And some of this is drawn, part of my inspiration as I was thinking of this, was drawn from some wisdom given to us, 80 years ago now, by a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You've heard that name before? He was a German pastor and seminary professor. Maybe that's why I like him. In the 1930s. during Nazi Germany, and their country was in turmoil and trying to figure out how to live a Christ-centered life in the middle of all that. And the world was in turmoil. And he wrote a book called Life Together. Yep. And it's one of those that's become a real classic for Christians. And he was pointing out that it isn't about the program, it isn't even about the event, it is about doing life together that really changes us, that really makes a difference in the world. And he called us back to that and reminded us of that. So, and that resonates with us because we don't want to, we appreciate the fact that week after week you tune in or you come, show up and listen to us talk. Mm-hmm. And we don't mind doing that. We take it very seriously. We work really hard at it, but we're teachers, and we think we have something to offer you, but it's not just about us.
Yep.
And so we're trying to be, as we go on, we're trying to be more and more intentional about life together and hearing other voices and hearing your voices and making space for us to be in relationship to one another. And my goodness, the last 10 months have proven the necessity of that. Because if we are not, if we're not doing life together, if we're just coming and listening to a couple of voices, if it's just a program or a show, nothing's going to change. We're not going to get to know one another. We will shout at each other and shout down each other. That's what the world is doing.
Yeah.
And you guys are committed to something better than that, and we want to honor that. So this morning, anyway, we just changed our mind about what to do this morning because it's life together. And we're going to have a little bit more. Why don't you explain what we're doing?
Well, we're going to just use our time in some ways that we don't always get to when on a Sunday morning. So, for example, prayer. We're going to spend some time in a little bit toward the end of the service praying together. We have, it is incredible the number of prayer requests that come into the church every single day. We don't want to violate anyone's privacy, of course, but what Deb did for us was prepare kind of a list of very broad categories of prayer. And then to expand the prayer, to pray for our family, our church community, and then expand it out. So we're going to take some time to actually pray together. Possibly do some praying with the scriptures, and we'll just see how the time goes. I'm very comfortable with this. Right, I don't know how many of you know Myers-Briggs, right? And I'm a P, which means I like open-ended, I like unplanned, I like to just see what's happening in the moment and let's have a conversation. But that's dangerous when I'm preaching, that's why I write everything down, because all those juicy rabbits that I want to go chase every one of them. But
am a J on the marathon.
Yes, yes. He's the
and song. I have a plan and 6 contingency plans just in case.
Yes. it makes a good team because on the way over here, here's the little piece of paper of everything that was going on in my head just on the way over here of all the fun things we could do together. So we'll do some praying. We may do some praying with the scripture. We'll see how much time we have, but where we want to start is with some sharing. And those of you who are online can also be sharing. Did you connect to Facebook?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm on YouTube and I'm watching this. I think Jeff is as well. So if you're online, you can write a comment in the comment section. And we're watching at this end and we'll see your comment. And, you know, if it meets our high standards of quality, we might share it. No, we'd love to hear from you.
So, where to begin? To begin, I was thinking on the way over about, you know, Calvin Miller. Anyone know? He's a Christian writer, and he's written some really wonderful things. And I think it's him. I don't think it's C.S. Lewis. I think it's Calvin Miller, who in one of his stories, he's writing about, you know, a kingdom, but the king is kind of popping in and popping out. He's here, he's there. And so there's a lot of, there are a lot of rumors going around in the kingdom. And when somebody sees the king, it's a big deal. And of course, this is, you know, a metaphor for the kingdom of God and Christ. Coming, going, he's here, he's there. So there's a person, I love this, there is a person in this kingdom whose job is to be the chronicler of the sightings of the king. Don't you love it? The chronicler of the sightings of the king. And this person's job is to go around, all around the kingdom, and write down the sightings, what people are seeing when they see the king, and, you know, what it's like to keep a record, a memory, a shared memory of the king and how he comes and what he's doing and what he's saying. So I thought, that's so much fun. So what we want to do is start off this morning by chronicling some of the sightings of the king. In other words, what are you seeing in your life? What are there God sightings in your life? Just in your everyday, it doesn't have to be big, huge things, but those are great too. But how are you seeing the Holy Spirit just showing up in your life of late? Are there sightings, experiences? Are you having new thoughts? Putting things together? There's a lot of that. I'm having a lot of conversations with students as well as with some of my directees about how this situation that we've been in for the last 10 months is both painful and limiting, but how God is using that, like almost like a crucible, where things are coming together in some new ways. People are coming to know God and to see God, to experience Christ and the Holy Spirit in some ways that they haven't before, because we've never been here before. And so is some of that happening? What are you noticing, even from our message last week? You know, we introduced this initial series for the year on resurrection, and we were talking about resurrection past, resurrection present, resurrection future, how we have been resurrected in Christ in a moment of time when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. We are already resurrected spiritually. And we continue to be in the present, moment by moment, day by day. We continue to be resurrected as that living, eternal part of us in union with the Holy Spirit begins to work out, and our minds are renewed. So there's new thoughts. There's, you know, a letting go of some old things that are too small now. It goes into our hearts, where our hearts are being cleansed, emptied out of some of the bitterness. And we sang about forgiveness, you know, some of the pain and the hurt emotionally. And it begins to work out as life begins to fill our hearts and expand our hearts, even into, you know, our bodies, our intuitions, our gut, every part of us. The resurrection is continuing to work out. And then, of course, in the future, it won't be fully complete until, you know, the day that we step from this life through that passageway of physical death into the next life. And then whatever it looks like, whatever Paul is telling those Corinthians about how in the end, you know, we'll rise like and be like he is, spiritual, physical, joined together for eternity. Are you noticing risings? Are you noticing resurrection beginning to work out in your life, maybe in ways that you hadn't noticed because we just haven't been talking about it like this before? So that's where we want to start. Of course, there are always other topics that come up that we can go up, you know, into conversation about. But why don't we start there, chronicling some of the sightings of the king in your lives and sharing them out loud so that it's not just something that's happening individually. We share with each other for encouragement. We share for hope, to make connections, you know. So we have a shared memory. So I'm going to stop talking for a moment and see, what are you noticing?
While they're thinking, let me tell you a story, because we didn't plan this. Yesterday, Carol and I returned to where my mom and dad were from. We were at a funeral of a family member, and we were driving down one of these roads, and I pointed out the building that used to be, back in the 1950s, a general store and gas station where my dad as a teenager would hang out. And my dad had a story about that to his dying day that he insisted on. The one day he was in there and Elvis Presley stopped by. It was the old National Highway. It's conceivable. It's possible. Dad was convinced that he had a sighting of the king.
Oh, no.
And I'm just saying, you know, Dad knew Jesus, too, but his excitement at being able to tell that story, that was one of the highlights of his life. There was one day in the summer, whatever year it was, where he saw Elvis Presley for about 3 minutes, and the enthusiasm of that. And then, so I'm thinking of the, yeah, it was interesting.
Is
that
there
she
some
would
connection
come up with
spiritually
this.
There? No.
Yeah. The God shows up in our lives in ways and let us not be any less aware,
exactly.
Much less any less.
Excited.
That's the word. Yeah, about that. He's left. Elvis has left the building.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Deb has a mic, so she'll run it around to you. And again, while you're thinking, as Tony's talking, a memory comes to my mind. Maybe a couple weeks ago, in case you haven't all noticed, I'm very visual. You know, there's different kinds of imagination. Imagination isn't always visual, but I am. And one day I'd had it with the masks. I was done. I was like feeling like I was suffocating. I was sweating. I was just done with the masks. I'm willing to wear them out of love, and it's important. But I was having a moment. And I got in my car and took off the mask, and I just said, God, how long do we have to wear these masks? And I was just talking to God about it, just kind of venting a little bit. This lasted this long, but it reframed everything. It was definitely a sighting of the king. I heard the scripture go through my mind, and we all with unveiled faces are standing, looking as if into a mirror at the image of Christ, being transformed into that very image from glory to glory to glory. And remember last week I told you about when you feel the rising inside? Because remember, I was kind of venting and not, I was feeling heavy. The scripture is going through my mind, that beautiful image of standing with unveiled faces, looking in and being transformed into that image. And at the end of the scripture, I felt this rising inside, and for this long, I saw it was as if I were out in space with God, looking at the earth, and it's just a prayer thing. I could see, like, every individual person on the earth. Everybody was standing out in the open and had masks on. And then it was like, as orchestrated, all in one moment, everybody on the earth took off their masks. Can I say, I was overwhelmed with how beautiful the human face is. I was just emotionally, like, my heart was overflowing to say how beautiful we look with unveiled faces. And there was a hope that kind of just reordered everything inside me in that moment. And since then, I haven't had a moment with the masks. It's like now what I'm doing, it's like almost like my spirit is waiting for the day when that is reality. But until then, I can look at eyes. I mean, we can appreciate just how breathtakingly beautiful human beings are, especially as we are being changed moment by moment from glory to glory to glory. So it changed everything. Nobody would have known. It took that long. I'm driving in my car 1 minute, I'm complaining and pretty upset about the masks, and the next one, I'm living in hope with something rising inside. So I thought, there was a sighting, and I want to share it with you because it was just breathtaking to me. So, yeah. What's going on in your lives? Oh, all right. Thank you. I know there's more pressure when there's so few people actually in the room, but you online, type in some things. Rick, go ahead.
So, I've been really looking hard at the Enneagram here again the past year and a half. And I first came across it about 17 years ago when I was in New Hampshire. And at the time, you know, I discovered who my false self was in Enneagram Type 1. But I really didn't make much progress for a long time coming toward the true self. And that's the power in the Enneagram as a tool, is to walk toward true self. So I was reviewing yesterday evening a book by Christopher Huart that I had read, last year. And in it, he talked about the true self and what the true self looks like, right? And as we come to discover true self, at the same time we're discovering what God looks like. And so for folks who are Enneagram Type 1, for our mind center, our true self looks like holy perfection. For our emotional center, our true self looks like serenity. And then for our body center, there's three different types of modalities there. For me, it's a self-preservation modality. And I think that's not really as important, but when I look at true self, for me, holy perfection and serenity. So that's given me a little picture of God. And I just love Isaiah chapter 35. It's spoken to me for years and years and years. And Isaiah 35, it talks about there's a holy highway, and it's for those who have a journey to make. And I think each one of us has a journey to make from our false self to our true self. And understanding what our false self looks like has real power when we look at what our true self looks like. Mm-hmm. So we can have pictures of the two ends of that journey, and so that the Holy Spirit then can guide us along in that journey.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rick. Actually, we're going to, in the next few weeks, be talking about and false self and true self. There's a lot of ways to describe that, but basically that, how do we say it simply? Uncomplicated. There is the person and the being that God created us to be. But we live in this world, and for a lot of reasons, we find that it's not safe for us to actually have, you know, be completely who we were made to be, because we get hurt. And so what we do is we create another self that we show the world. So we have the self that God created in God's likeness and image. And then we have the self that we create in our own likeness and image.
And after a while, we start believing that it is true.
Isn't that right? We forget
who we are.
We forget who we are. We forget who God is, who the God is. Because that false person that we make, that false identity, has a false God that goes with it. And so we start living, and then usually what starts happening, though, and it's grace, but do you ever have the feeling of being a phony? Like a fraud? Or there's a gap, something just doesn't seem quite right? I had a student a couple weeks ago say, you know where I learned to lie? I learned to lie in church. I said, what do you mean? He was like, what? And she said, because I wanted to lead a Bible study. And this was when she was younger. I wanted to lead a Bible study, but I realized that I couldn't be messy. I had to have arrived already and have all the answers and have it all put together in order to be able to tell other people what to do so they could be like me. Oh. So she said she was very aware that she was lying, but she wanted to teach so badly this desire, because that's part of how God made her true self, that she went ahead and became like a trained poodle and jumped through all the hoops and said what she thought she was supposed to say. And she said she knew she was lying. And somewhere along the way, she forgot. And she just was living like that until one day the Holy Spirit showed up and said, it's time for you to stop lying to yourself and to others. I want you to be who I made you to be. And that's how she actually ended up at seminary, was trying
It's one of the saddest things. We talk a lot here about bad religion, and we're not picking on any particular religion. We're just talking about what, if we don't know who God really is, the harm it does to us. Mm-hmm. This is one of the real ironies, that often religion is the place that is something that fuels this false self. It encourages us to pretend. And people all over the world are going to churches pretending to be somebody that they're not, because of the pressure that you have to be that.
So,
when God is all the time inviting us in the exact opposite direction.
So families arguing in the car, come into the parking lot, and then all of a sudden everyone just puts on their mask. Ooh, another meaning of mask, right? How about if we can walk around with unveiled faces before we take our masks off, I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What else? Thanks.
And that's the book we're reading right now, and I'm working through in our adult class, too.
Yeah.
The Gift of Being Yourself.
It's risky, though, isn't it? It takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there. And that's why so often here at Hosanna, we're talking about how do we know who we are and know who God is here. Live out of the security of what we're loved. There isn't anything that we can do that causes us to be less loved by God ever. We're loved, we're secure there. And if we can be secure there, we can take the risk to be who we were, because that self that you were created, that God saw you before the foundations of the earth, gifted you, purposed you, brought you into this world to be, that's the self that reveals Christ to the rest of the world. And so that actually is part of the journey that we're on this year, just going in and exploring what does it mean to be alive from the dead. That's a huge part of what it means, is allowing our...
It's not about creating a fake life. It's not about, you know, packaging ourselves all over again so we can present ourselves differently to the world. It's coming alive as our true self.
It is. And it's not, you know, a lot of Christians misunderstand the book of Romans and Paul a lot. If this is not, when we talk about dying to self, it doesn't mean that we're being eradicated. It doesn't mean that we need to disappear and not be alive anymore so that Jesus is the only thing that people see. No. What it means is that self that we created and the false God that goes with it, false self, false God, our identity, when we're in control and we get to be God, and that's what needs to die. Die, that self needs to die, and it's hard work, and we'll talk about it, you know, in coming weeks. It is hard to let that go because it makes us feel vulnerable, it makes us feel... But that's what dies. Why? So that who you were really created to be can live.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live.
I live.
Not just Christ lives. That's what we've been saying. I think we said the last couple of weeks, the good news of Easter is not just that Jesus rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. That's true, and that's good, but that he rose from the dead so we could.
Yeah.
So it isn't just, I'm crucified with Christ, therefore Christ lives. I'm crucified with Christ, now I live.
Right.
By his power.
Exactly. And it's so... How does an infinite God look through your life and my life? Each individual, you know, it's like if God is this gem with infinite facets on it that's turning, and each one of us who's born in our uniqueness, our God-created uniqueness, gets to be one little facet that shines that little bit of who God is into the world through our lives. It means we need everybody. We need you to be you, because guess what? If you're trying to be somebody else, we don't need two of some. We don't need two. We need who God created each one of us to be, so that there is a more of a full revelation of more and more and more of who God is. Does that make sense? Because God delights. God delights in us. God delights in us being uncomplicated. Just being.
So we don't want to put you on the spot, but this is part of what we're inviting here today.
Right.
Tell us how you have come alive. You have in Christ. How you have become more yourself.
Yeah.
How you've been resurrected from that the death of that false self in your own life. If you've seen that happening in you.
Yeah.
Love to hear some of those stories.
So we'll
it takes
stop
some vulnerability
talking for a
minute. To do that. You know.
But yeah, what else, Dave? Yeah. I knew regardless of the weather that Dave would be here, because Dave drives a truck in the weather all the time.
I'll just tailgate on with what you've been sharing. There's a statement that I recently heard that it's kind of chilling. A lot of Christians don't lie. They just don't believe in what they sing.
They don't lie. They just don't believe what they say?
Sing.
Oh, sing.
Worship.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of chilling when you look at who your true self really is. Mm-hmm. You can't live off of your emotions. You can't live off of the person beside you.
Yeah.
You were talking about how the Lord is speaking through you, or how you see things right now and how He speaks. You know, over the last few weeks, certainly the political spectrum is just a real challenge. Mm-hmm. But there's two worlds we're living in right now. I see the world that I live in. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? Mm-hmm. And He said, follow the cloud.
Follow
the cloud.
The cloud.
I'm thinking of the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Fire by night, cloud by day. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're underneath that cloud, you have His presence. You have what you need for the day, each day. And in the midst of that, I was saying, well, Lord, is there any blind spots that I'm missing, that I'm not seeing clearly for myself right now? Mm-hmm. And He didn't really show me anything in an area that, you know, I'm doubting in faith. He actually showed me more of Himself. And the question that Sean raised in worship this morning, can you say that God loves you and that you love God back?
Yeah.
Well, that I say often to Him, Lord, I love you each day. And whenever that becomes a place where that's harder for me to say, well, then I know there's a blind spot that's coming up. So I got to get under the cloud or in the cloud. And if it's a fire by night, I'll go into the fire. I want to be refined. I don't want anything being hindered or restricted for me that's eternal. Mm-hmm. Because the permanence of where I'm going is far more real than what I'm walking through right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I say, I do sing, and I do read, and I do believe what He wants me to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the integrity that He wants us to have.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Yeah.
We have a comment online that I'm just catching up with here right now.
Okay.
It's four comments, so I'm putting it all together. This is from Kristen. My grandfather fell this week, causing multiple fractures in his hip. We were all devastated because he was supposed to be finally reunited with my grandma after separation due to the virus. I was talking a lot to God throughout the morning about how upset I was, and I wasn't expecting an answer. But I got one at 2:00 that same day. Huh. The church bells down the road played the song, Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
Oh,
this is cool, Kristen, thanks.
Yeah.
A song that my grandpa has been singing to me since I was a child.
Yeah.
My grandpa is always reminding us that God will bring good out of this. And on that day, this week, I got that reminder loud and clear.
Wow.
God sighting.
Thank you, Kristen.
Yes.
Love it. You know, we can't make that happen. She didn't make that happen.
Nope. Can't make this up.
We cannot make this up.
No.
Now, are there coincidences? Probably. Yeah, things happen that just happen. But you know when it's not a coincidence, don't you? There's just something there. The timing of it, the synchronicity of it. And for us to be awake in our lives enough to be noticing and allow the rising. That's what God was right there in her everyday life. Yes, that goes in the chronicle of the sightings of the king. Absolutely. There's Helen way in the back. Yes. And I know sometimes there's the temptation to say, oh my gosh, you're just reading into things. Well, if I'm ignoring it or trying to write it off, I'm reading into it too. I'm devaluing it. I don't know. I'd rather experience it and trust that it's God giving hope rather than false hope, because it's a simpler way to live. Helen.
Well, you know, we have two children, Michael and Gary. One lives in Seattle, one in Germany. Well, recently, of all the cities in the United States that the two could be together, Michael flew to Seattle. And Michael and Gary, you know, through COVID, haven't seen much. We haven't seen our kids in a year, you know. Here, they got to spend some really quality time together through COVID and just being united as brothers. And again, you know, anyway, Gary said last night, Mom, you sounded emotional last time I talked to you. I said, Gary, what are the chances of all the cities in the United States, the two of you would be united during COVID to see each other and spend some quality time?
Yes.
And he says, oh, I said, that means a lot to us, Mom, you know, this, that would happen. So I'm grateful.
Yes.
And, you know, it usually doesn't affect me, but this meant a lot because it was not just a coincidence, right. I believe, because both of them had some needs to be, you know, different needs. And on a side note, Michael is now a commercial pilot license. He's got his commercial pilot's license because of the training he went through. But all of that said, God knows what they needed. And so,
yeah.
And those what we as parents needed, just,
yeah.
You know, to know.
Yeah. Thanks, so Helen. Yeah. Thanks, Helen. Thanks, Helen. And again, the threads that are running through this conversation this morning, but to trust the unfolding of our lives, to trust the circumstances as they're happening, and that God is working all things together for good. One of the benefits of journaling, you know, even if once a day you sit down and write down a few of the sightings, a few of the things that you were noticing, what that ends up over time being is graced history. Do you know what I mean by that? We have a tendency to look back over our lives, and we might see a few highlights here and there, but very often we're all caught up in what seems negative, all the pain and the hurt and that this thing happened and that was bad. But God was with us from the moment we were born, working all things together for good. For us to be able to have more of this ability to see, and then to look back over our lives, you know, past life, look for where were the risings. This is part of already being resurrected, is looking back, where was God bringing life and goodness out of even a situation like COVID? It's happening. If we have eyes to see, does it diminish the pain? Does it take away the fact that people are dying and there is so much loss and job loss and so much? No, it does not alter that reality. What it does is it enlarges it so that we are not only seeing what's bad, even like on the political scene. This is wrong, that is wrong. Okay, well, there's reality there. But can we have an expanded, graced view that God is still present and in work? And how do we cooperate with the grace of God moment by moment? So yeah, thank you, Helen. Yeah. What else? Who else? Something to share? Okay, well then...
I'm thinking Lectio.
I'm thinking of closing with that. Okay. Why don't we pray? Since we were just talking about COVID and some other difficult circumstances, like with Christian's grandfather. Why don't we pray together? Feel free. We don't have to use a microphone for this. Maybe I'll start us off. And Tony, if you'll close us, maybe. And we have this list here that we can start with.
So you'll start praying, and then others can pray from where they're at. And if somebody's online and wants to pray, just type in your prayer, and we'll read that one too.
Right. And we'll just have some space for prayer. Then we'll close it, and then we'll close with praying with Psalm 40. Okay? Lord, thank you. And I thank you that prayer is not only asking for you to do things, although that's important. And Lord, in so many ways, there are so many situations that we are holding up to you in prayer as a community in love for brothers and sisters here and outside of here who are suffering, who are at the end of what they can do, and you're their hope. And we thank you for that. But Lord, I think I want to start by praying in celebration and gratitude that today is my father's 85th birthday. Thank you for this man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that he loves in a way that has always shown me your love even when I didn't know you. Just ask that you would continue to bless his life, to give him joy. Thank you for bringing him through a year of loss after my mom's death. But I thank you for creating this man and bringing him into the world, because he shows you to me. So thank you, Lord. Lord, we do pray for everyone who has COVID now, like my uncle right now in Connecticut in the hospital, as well as so many others, Lord. Those who are actively struggling with COVID, as well as those who have had COVID, the lasting symptoms that may be there. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to be who you are, that you would be present, that you would bring peace, that you would do healing in ways that only you can. And Lord, we pray for the family members who are unable to visit people in nursing homes and in hospitals. All of the death and the loss, Lord, we just thank you that although it seems enormous to us, we can bring this prayer to you knowing you are already at work in the midst of this. And we do look forward to the day, Lord, when, you know, vaccines and all of the science and all of what immunity means increases. But for now, thank you that we can trust you. We can trust you in this process. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you that one of your many names is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who have had falls and broken bones and cellulitis and surgeries and procedures. Lord, we ask that you would continue to touch their bodies health and the focus. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to surround our family of Hosanna that have lost loved ones over the last year. Lord, we think of one family in particular who had the 1 year anniversary of a beloved son's death. And Lord, we pray for you to continue to comfort them during these times. And Lord, we pray for the families and friends who have loved ones working in hospitals and nursing facilities, yes, for the deaths that they are seeing every day. Lord, we pray and we thank you for them. Lord, we ask that you would continue to sustain them, to give them what they need to care for themselves and to be cared for as they care for others.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, for those who are suffering from depression, especially those who live alone and have been isolated, even those who are living in retirement communities where they've been isolated for a long, long time. We pray, Lord, for your presence to be so real that you would lift them, that you would lift their spirits, that, Lord, you would be for them exactly what is needed. We ask, Lord, for you also to help all of us as a community to know how to love, how to be your hands and your heart for brothers and sisters who are just kind of caught in a darkness, who are caught in a sadness, in an isolation. Lord, help us. Give us creative ways to be able to connect together so that, Lord, they will know that they know that although they might be physically alone, they're not alone. Okay, Lord.
And Father, I pray for all of us who are afraid or tired or sick and tired of the whole thing. Yep. There's so much to be afraid of, but you do not want us to live in fear. And we pray that your grace would relieve that fear from our shoulders. Mm. And there's so much that we are tired of indeed. And sometimes we're tired of each other. But we pray that you would give us a sighting of yourself, that you never grow tired of us, and give us the grace to be able to hang in there with each other.
Yes.
Teach us a deeper level of love.
Yes.
For all of us who are weary in our souls because of holding on for so long or getting through so many dark times or so much loss, we pray that you would give us a strength that only you can give. And we can testify the next time we have opportunity that we have seen you, we have experienced you, we've felt your presence in our lives in a way that's made a difference.
Yes.
For all of these requests, we ask your care. We trust that you love us, and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, well, let's close out with just some prayer. Praying the scriptures from Psalm 40. What we'll do, we've done this before. This is a way of praying that actually comes from the 5th century. So we're joining centuries of brothers and sisters in praying the scriptures this way. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 40. And I'm going to just kind of lead you through just a very simple, uncomplicated 4-part process. I'll read it twice. So as I'm reading, what you'll want to do is listen for, is there a word, is there a phrase, is there an image that's kind of jumping out at you and drawing your attention? All right? And then I'll read it again, and you can be noticing that, and then I'll just guide us through the prayer from there. Okay? So why don't we just get quiet inside? I know you're quiet outside. Just to take a moment. Kind of quiet down inside, become aware of the presence of God with you, in you. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Okay, again, a word, a phrase, an image that's drawing your attention. And I'll read it again. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. So now just take a moment with that, the word, the phrase, the image, and just move into the next part of this prayer, which is kind of the meditation part, where you just turn it over in your heart, chew on it a bit in your mind. Begin to notice, what does that image or that those words, how does that connect with your life right now? So just take a moment, do that bit of meditation. And as you start to get a sense of, oh, I see, it's connecting to this part of my life. Okay, now move into the next part of this prayer, which is now talk to God about it. Talk to God about this connection. Ask God some questions if you have. Listen for what God might be wanting you to know about this particular connection. And as you start to get a sense of, oh, this is what God is inviting me to, or this is what God would have me know, notice, how do you feel? How do you start to respond to that? And continue the conversation with God until it comes to a place where, at least for the moment, there seems to be a sense of kind of a resolution, a sense of a deeper knowing, a sense of an invitation or a response. And then the last movement in the prayer is when, all right, it seems like there's a resting, or at least a bit of resolution for the moment. Linger just a little bit longer without words. This is called contemplatio. This is the resting in the presence of God, in the love of God, simply to be with Him. And notice, what is God feeling toward you? And fill up on that, okay? So just take just another few moments to rest in the presence of God. We'll say amen at this point. This way of praying is very simple. Sometimes it can take an hour. Sometimes it's just a few moments. But as we prepare to close, anything that you might want to share from that prayer? You don't have to. But is there anything that you would want to add to our shared memory of God being present and active in your life right now?
I have one, but I have the mic. I got a sense in that prayer time that somebody maybe needed to hear this. Maybe it was me, but if it's good for anybody else, be still and know that I'm God. Mm. Maybe that's a good invitation for this snowstorm that's supposed to keep us occupied to Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
What a wonderful opportunity. Let's be still. Keep it uncomplicated.
Yeah.
Know that God is. Know that He is God, and know who we are.
Yeah, He's set us in on a solid place to stand. It was interesting to me in reading that the two times through, and I was chuckling inside because there were so many of the things that came up in our conversation today that were actually part of that psalm, those first five verses. And it's like, again, the sightings of the King. We can't make this stuff happen, but we can share it together. And then encourage each other to be looking for God everywhere. Be open. When you notice arising inside, stop. Just take a moment and, you know, ask God, what's happening here? Or is there something that you would have me say or do that could be an encouragement to someone else? Or simply, it may just be a moment of God loving you. I told you last week I've got a new dog, new to me, and she's settling in now enough that she surprises me every so often because I'll lean over to put on her leash or do something, and she'll lick me. And I was laughing, and again, do I read God into everything? I really do. It's like, aw, God, that is so cool, because that's sometimes the feeling inside of having the dog loving me like dogs do. Feels like, oh my gosh, it feels like sometimes God's doing that too. He's doing it through the dog. He's just kind of giving me a little kiss there. So anyway, okay. Tony.
Well, let's, as for the class, Mm-hmm. I've been sitting here watching out the window a little bit. For those of you that are some distance away, you don't know what's going on here, but it's been snowing the whole time. It looks like the roads are still clear, and I think if everybody leaves now, you'll get home just dandy. I'm feeling a little guilty about suggesting that we stay another hour and a half while it's been snowing like this. So I think it'd be wise if we not have class in the building just to keep everybody safe. We could do it entirely online, but not everybody in class has easy access to online, and some of you, if we did that, would be scurrying home trying to get online, and then that wouldn't be good either. So let's just keep it uncomplicated. There's nothing requiring us to get this book done at a particular date. So we won't meet today. Hang out with the concepts a little bit more, and we'll do it again next week, and all will be well.
Yeah, so we'll just push everything ahead a week with the class.
Yeah, so thank you.
Thanks for your understanding. Hey, thanks for being you. It just feels good to have been with you all in the presence of God today. So thank you, brothers and sisters. And stay warm, stay safe. Be blessed. Be yourselves.